Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus 14, and I'll just read one verse to begin here. Verse number 15. I may have read this verse in your hearing before and preached from this passage. I did not go back and look at my records on purpose, because it's what I feel like preaching. And I'll tell you a little more about that maybe as the evening goes by. But I want to preach to you what I feel like is the burden of my heart tonight for this service. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to touch us here in this place? Would you, Father? I pray right now that you would consecrate me to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with steadfast hope. And let my foolish, carnal, earthly will be completely lost in thine. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone can say, amen. Amen. I want to focus on the last two words of that verse. Preaching from this passage, but focusing on the last two words. Go forward. We must go forward. We were preaching in a small church, late in the year, December, way up in December last year. And it was our last meeting before we came home for the holidays. And this church, I'd preached revival there before, and they rent the facility of another church. And the pastor of the church that owns the building is very good to come to the revival, and some of his people, just maybe one of his ladies has come, but he comes pretty faithfully to visit revivals there. So I told my wife, I said, if I get a chance, I want to visit one of their services. So Sunday morning, the church I'm preaching for has service at 11 or 11:30. The church that owns the building has an early service. And so I slipped in just a couple of minutes late. I'd hit some traffic on the way there. And I slipped in. And 5 minutes after I walk in the door, I'm standing behind the pulpit preaching. Totally unprepared. I'm going to preach later. Just walk into this congregation of people. I don't know anybody there but the pastor. And I know what he thought as soon as I walked in. That's why I couldn't get a message this morning. There's my preacher. He probably took a nap instead of studying, hoping God would bail him out. And God did. And didn't tell me about it. So I'm up preaching, and I don't even have a clue right now what it was, but preaching something that was hopefully biblical, profitable in some way. And while I was preaching, God laid this message, brought this message, Exodus 14, 15, to my heart. So strong that for a moment I considered just kind of changing gears and preaching this, but it was so totally opposite of what I was preaching. And really, when he laid it on my heart, I could feel I was facing, I had a difficult service to preach later that evening, and I knew it was going to be difficult. It was a very difficult, touchy situation, and the Lord just laid this message, which really had nothing to do with the situation, on my heart to preach to that church. And while I'm preaching, all this going on in my mind, while I'm preaching, I feel like he laid upon my heart, Brother Jarvis, this is your word for God's people this year. I want you to preach this. I want you to tell my people, we must go forward. So I haven't preached it everywhere I've been this year. I haven't preached it in a couple of weeks, but I really feel like on my heart tonight, I want to speak to God's people. I want to speak to the people right here at First Pentecostal in London that are gathered here tonight in this place of worship, in the presence of God. And I would like to tell you, for the best that I can know God's word, the best that I can hear God's word, which may not be everything it ought to be, but the best that I can hear God's word, I feel God speaking to his church, we must go forward. We cannot remain one place spiritually. We must be moving forward. We don't understand everything's going on because we're just men. We don't understand that God is drawing Pharaoh down on us. We don't understand why God would even think of bringing Pharaoh after us. But God is the one who is bringing Pharaoh after the children of Israel. God put a hook in his jaw and is drawing him to his destruction. Why did God bring us out here to die? We don't understand because we're men, but he is God. We have hopes and plans and dreams, but God has his divine plan for our lives. We must go forward not knowing God's plan. Now, maybe that's easy for some of you, but I like things spelled out for me. I don't like the unknown. I'm not fearful of the dark, but sometimes I'm fearful of things that might be out there in the dark. Because I can't see them. I'm fearful of the unknown. But God's perfect will is not revealed to us at times while we're standing at the edge of the Red Sea and mountains on either side and the enemy pressing down on us. The only thing he says is, you can't stay here. You must go forward. Now, just to remind you, I'm not going to preach all this, I'm not going to read all these verses, but to remind you, the children of Israel are making it hot on Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die? It'd been better for us to be slaves. Now, folks, I want to tell you, when life gets to a point where we say it'd be better out there in slavery than it is here in freedom, it'd be better if I'd stayed back there in Egypt than where I am today, we need some divine intervention when we get to that point. When I hear people telling me, I don't know why I'm even serving God. I mean, I had it better back when I wasn't a Christian. Oh, saints of God, we're in danger of being devoured by the enemy with talk like that. You can't go back. Are y'all with me here tonight? We can't go back. You can't go back. There's nothing back there in Egypt, in sin, in our old life. There's nothing there that we need. We must go forward. They're not here because Moses didn't stop to ask for directions, sisters. I know we take a bad rap from our, maybe a well-deserved rap from our wives that we will not stop and ask for directions. But directions are not all they're made out to be. We were down visiting my wife's parents about an hour or so southeast of us, and kind of in a beautiful part of Ohio, hilly country. And this several years ago, and we knew of a meeting that was going on at some campground. It was actually a singing that night. It was a Friday night, I think it was, and we said, hey, we're down here. It can't be much more than an hour, 45 minutes more. Let's go. So I got a little bit of direction from my father-in-law. He didn't know exactly where it was, but he got me in the general area. Then we drove around and around and around. We're at risk of being late to this thing that we're now spending all this time to get to. So I stopped at a little convenience store, roadside place in the country, to ask for directions. Do you know of this camp meeting ground? Yes, I know exactly where it is. Well, that's my guy, okay? He said, this road you're on, go right on down 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 miles. You'll see where they levied up dirt next to a road and planted grass on it many years ago. You'll see that road. Turn right there. And I said, does it have a name? Is there a sign? He said, no, but you'll see they levied up dirt next to it and planted grass years ago. Now, those are directions, right? And sure enough, I knew the road when I got to it. So I turned right. He said, you follow that road. It's 6 or 8 more miles. You'll come to a T. You got to stop. Turn right. And then you follow that one 6 or 8 or 10 miles, and that camp will be on the right. Easy. 30 minutes later, I'm there. We go in. We enjoy it. We have a good time. I mentioned to someone, hey, we're going toward Dayton, Ohio. And I had to work in the morning, so we had to get home. I said, I got turned around getting in here. Could you tell me how to get out of here? And they said, you came in on this main road right here. Yes, I did. Right here, there's a little road that right here by the camp, that little farm road right there, hits the main road. Turn on that road right there. This one? Yes. Turn there, and in 6 miles, you're going to come to a T. Across from that T is a little country store. You're going to turn left, and that'll take you toward Dayton. I got down to that little country store. You know which one it was? The one I stopped and asked for directions 30 miles before I got to the place. I was 6 miles from the camp, and he saw me coming from Dayton, Ohio, and sent me 30 miles around. There was a house next to the store. I wanted to pull up in that yard and just lay on my horn until he come out and wave at him and go on, just to let him know, you got me. Directions are not always all they're cracked up to be. But Moses did not miss a turn. Moses is here by God's design. No, I'm not going to tell you that it was God's perfect will to be in some of the trouble that has come into your life. No, no. But God has a plan even in the midst of Pharaoh and the enemy trying to destroy you. God has a plan. That plan involves moving forward from this place. We can't stay here. Number one, we can't stay here because the enemy is pressing down behind us. If we stay here, well, there's a Red Sea in front of us, and there's mountains on either side of us. Yes, that's true. But if we stay here, there is an enemy that is going to destroy us. We cannot remain in one place. I used to preach for an older brother out in Western Kentucky who's gone on now, and he loved to squirrel hunt and rabbit hunt, and he'd loved it since he was a boy. He would tell stories of hunting trips. I mean, just story after story of his brothers and his uncles hunting, and they just loved to hunt and hunt with dogs. And one day he was a teenager, and they were following the dogs, hunting rabbits, and walking across a field that had real tall grass. They had to part the grass as they were walking. And he was just a teenager, and he parted the grass, and there was the biggest rabbit he had ever seen right in front of him, hunkered down, shaking. You know, God gave rabbits a defense mechanism. You know what it is? Run. He told me that sometimes they'll get so frightened, the dogs and all the noise, that they will freeze in their tracks. Well, that rabbit story did not end well. Freezing in your tracks doesn't help you. We can't stay here. The enemy is behind us. The enemy's real. He's not some Halloween character with a little pitchfork and a pointed red tail and little horns. He's real. And he is enraged. He is angry. He has but a short time to work. You are going to heaven and he can never go back. You have a relationship with God and he destroyed his relationship with God. He is angry at you. He is enraged and he is ruthless. The devil will stop at nothing to destroy us. We can't stay here. I read a little made-up story years ago of a man who was all prepared for winter out in the wilderness, nearly prepared. He had his cabin, he had wood, he had food, but he felt like he needed one more good fur for a blanket and a coat. So he went out hunting before the final snow began to fall, just to seal him in his place for winter, and he went out and took aim at a bear. Now, I told you this was a made-up story, didn't I? Just so you know, I don't believe this is true, okay? But the principle is true. And the bear said, that's the part I wanted you to know was made up. The bear said, "Hey, why do you want to shoot me?" He said, "Well, I'm looking for your fur coat to keep me from freezing." The bear said, "Well, I'm just looking for one more good meal. I need some more protein before I go into hibernation. You need a coat. I need one more meal. We don't have to be adversaries. Why don't we sit down here on this log and talk about it and see if we can come to a compromise?" You know what happens when you compromise with something that's trying to kill you, don't you? Here's how the story ended. When the story was over, the man was inside the coat of the bear, and the bear had his last meal. Now, if you didn't get that, you can ask somebody later, or just wait till about lunchtime tomorrow when it hits you. Okay? That's what happens when you compromise. You're going to get eaten by a bear. We can't compromise with evil. That's why your pastor, sometimes he'll get up here and preach and you think, "Man, what's got into him? He's got a burr in his saddle. He's talking to us like we're sinners." Or the reason that a pastor will stand up here and warn us about things that maybe we don't see any danger in is he knows the evil of compromise, the danger of compromise. We can't go halfway with the enemy. What's going to happen if we turn around and say, "Pharaoh, forget everything that's happened. Your firstborn that just got killed, we're sorry about all that. And we'll just go back and be your slaves and we'll treat each other good." No, he's not coming to play checkers out there on the banks of the Red Sea. He's coming to destroy them. And our enemy is out to destroy us, and we cannot compromise with him. We must make tracks away from the enemy. We must go forward. God said, "Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." In fact, he said, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" What are you praying about, Moses? Sometimes prayer, oh boy, I hope this comes out right. Sometimes prayer is not the right thing. Some things you just know. It's in the book. You don't have to pray about it. Keep moving forward. Move away from the enemy. That's the right direction. Forward in God. We can't stay here because the enemy is coming down behind us. But don't forget, Brother Davey, there's an uncrossable, impossibly deep Red Sea in front of them. So we must go forward in spite of the obstacle in front of us. I have thought at various times when we have come against brick walls and dead ends and impossible situations, if this was just a Red Sea, I'd jump in and swim. But you got to keep going no matter what. the obstacle is. Your obstacle may be, may feel, and may be so much greater than a Red Sea, but it illustrates to me and should illustrate to us that our God, He thrives in impossible situations, because for Him, impossible situations do not exist. Somebody grab a hold of that right now in your own life. That impossible situation in your life does not exist for God. It is entirely possible that God can resolve it. Another story I read about little Johnny that went to Sunday school. Went every Sunday, and every Sunday his mom asked him the same question. What'd you learn today? Hoping he had paid attention. Hoping he had gleaned something. He said, Mom, it was the greatest Sunday school lesson we've ever had. Well, that really got her attention. What'd you learn, Mom? We learned about Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Have you ever heard that story, Mom? Mom, it's amazing. She said, well, son, just sit down here and tell me about it. So he said, Mom, they made Pharaoh angry. He let him go, but he followed after him. He's going to kill him. He's coming after him with all of his army and his machines of war. And they come up to the Red Sea, and they can't get across, and they can't climb the mountains. So Moses calls in the Army Corps of Engineers, and they come out, and they build the world's biggest pontoon bridge, a temporary bridge across this Red Sea. And they build it in just a short amount of time. And the children of Israel cross on this pontoon bridge, and they get on the other side, and they're rejoicing. But they realize now that Pharaoh is coming with his tanks and his artillery and his soldiers, and they're going out on the pontoon bridge too. And so they're still going to be destroyed. But Moses calls in the Air Force, and the bombers begin to come, but they're slow. And so the jets start strafing Pharaoh and his army, holding them, pinning them down on the bridge until the bombers can come. And when the bombers come, they drop their bombs and destroy the bridge and all of Pharaoh's army. And the children of Israel grab a tambourine, and Moses' sister begins to sing about God's deliverance. Mom, it was awesome. You've heard that story, right? Mother says, Johnny, is that really the way your teacher told that story? And he gets a little sheepish grin like a little 7 or 8 year old boy can do. And he says, no, that's not really the way she told the story. But Mom, if I told it to you her way, you'd never believe it. You'd never believe what she told us. Yeah, you know what she told him, right? That Moses raised his hand by the command of God, and the waters parted hither and thither and made a wall of water on both sides wide enough for 1.5 million or 2 million people to march across in the space of one night. Probably had to be wide enough for 5,000 people to walk across shoulder to shoulder. Mom, they walked across on dry ground. That's what she told us. And when they got to the other side, Pharaoh followed in, and his chariots got stuck in the dirt. They drave heavy, and the water came down and drowned all of them. But saints of God, that's exactly the way God did it. And it just proves for you and I that God can make a way out of no way. Think about this. The children of Israel walked on dry ground. The way that God provided for them was through a path on a surface that no one had ever walked on before. No one had ever walked on that ground where that water was. But when you need a way, God can provide a way that you've never even thought about. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how many times we have faced impossible situations. We have looked at all the possibilities, and we have began to direct God. Here's the way. This is it, God. This would be the way. And we're focused on that miracle that we can see God working. And while we're focused there, we hear a great sound and the Red Sea parts, and we walk through deliverance that we never even imagined. Oh, I want to preach to you here. Saints of God, we must go forward, and God will make the way. Brother Davy, I just can't bring myself to do it. I can't take the first step. But if you will step, God will provide the deliverance. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. We must go forward because the enemy is behind us. We must go forward in spite of the obstacle in front of us. And we must go forward because it gets better from here. Now, just by way of rehearsing here something that you already know, where were they going anyway? Somebody answer it for me. I'm not going to trap you. The promised land. Why do we call that the promised land? You answered that one. I'm going to let you answer the next one. Why do we call it that? Who promised it? God promised it. Give the boy a sucker. Praise God. Oh, yeah. See if he'll give me a lick of it. The rest of these kids wouldn't give me no lick off their sucker all morning. Probably the best for me, but I was just trying to check their generosity is all, you know. I probably wasn't very generous with a sucker when I was a kid either, but I probably didn't have a 300-pound man asking me for a lick of it either. Promised by God. This is the place they're headed. It's the land that flows with milk and honey. This is the place they could see from Egypt with 20/20 vision. They heard the stories. Most of these people, all of these people alive, have never seen this promised land, but they could see it in their visions of the old men standing around the fire saying, there's hills and there's valleys and there's this place where there's fruit trees and this land is, oh, it's so much better than Goshen here in Egypt. It's so much better than what you know. They had grown up longing for this place because God said it's there. I want to tell you, friend, you can't stay here because God has something better for you. I said, God has something better for you. The best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. You may have had some great days in the past, and thank God for them, but the best days are still in your future in God. I said your best days are still in your future in God. The best is yet to come. Thank God for the revivals that these walls have been witness to. The people saved right here at this altar. The lives sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. All over this building, many of you were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost right here in this place, maybe even sitting right there in the pew where you are right now. Your minds are full of experiences that you have had or witnessed right here in this place. I cling to and cherish the memories of experiences that God has given, that I have felt, that I have seen, that I have been a part of. But I cannot, I cannot get caught up on tarrying right here in my little memory world. I must believe that God has better things for me because I am not home yet. I said, I am not home yet. I know the promised land really is a symbol of the Christian life. And in one sense, we are living in Canaan land now in our Christian life. But it is also, in a broader sense, a view of what is yet to come. We have a home that we're going toward. The best is not here. The best is there, praise God. We must go forward. Because the best is yet to come. Now, I've had several months to think about this since that day in December when I really felt the Lord impress me while I was preaching something else that this was the word that He wanted me to give His people this year. I don't know if I've ever had that happen exactly like that. And I really can't explain it all. That I've had some time to think about that. Why speak that to us now, Lord? Why speak that here at this well-established church with saints whose minds are set toward heaven? And obviously going forward, why speak it to us now? The only thing that I have to say about this is the only conclusion, is because it's so important that we do not stop here. And I have witnessed personally, this year, people that are near and dear who I thought would never turn aside have already turned or are in the process of turning right now. Not here, but people I know very personally. Therefore, I say it with all my heart to those of you that have never even contemplated any other direction in 2018, do not entertain any thoughts from the enemy, because he will turn those thoughts into action, and your action will become your character and your destiny. We must make up our minds. Yes, I'm preaching to young people. We must make up our minds to go forward, but I'm preaching to moms and dads and grandparents, and I'm preaching to saints of God that have been serving him for years. We can't afford to let this moment of spiritual progress pass us by. We must make up our mind, even right here in this service and in this revival. I am going forward. I'm tired. I'm weary. I've had so many things against me, but you can't stop now. We can't do it. We must go forward. What does going forward look like, Brother Davey? Well, it really looks like what we've already been doing. Praying more. Reading our Bible. Telling the lost about Jesus. Being faithful to the house of God. Building a closer relationship with God. Going forward involves being the very best Christian we can be by God's grace. Going forward involves saying no to sin, no to self, and no to Satan. It involves saying yes to God and everything God has for me. So for some of you, that going forward may be a very large step into the will of God. But for most of us, it is not a large step. It's just a determined step. This is the direction I am going. By God's grace, I'm not going back. I'm going to the things that God has for me. I'm not calling anybody to the mission field or to the pastorate or to evangelism. That's a large step. I'm calling us to a determined step. I'm going forward by God's grace. We must go forward because the enemy is pressing in behind us. We must go forward in spite of the obstacle in front of us. And we must go forward because the best is yet to come. One more thing, Brother Jarvis, if you'll allow me. Many years ago, and I've told you about it, I've been transparent with you. I walked into a dark place in my life, my mind. Oh, I was still going to church. I was still saved, and I was doing everything I could to stay saved. Trust God's grace. Man, my mind. And I guess the person I invited to church tonight already came. Sister Sharon back here. Of course, she's no stranger here. Sister Sharon was familiar with our family during those years. When I struggled in my mind for my very sanity. I never once contemplated just giving up on God. But I did a whole lot of praying about how do I do anything to go forward. And I got to thinking about this the other day. What if I'd have stopped right there? What if I'd have stopped? 25 years of wonderful, joyous times in our family. 25 years of revivals and camp meetings and tent revivals. My family would have missed out on. And I know God could always send somebody else and would have sent somebody else, but what about the dozens or maybe even hundreds of people that have come to know Christ? But they might have got saved some other way, yeah, but I'd have missed out on the joy. What about all the miles my wife and I have traveled and our daughter hand in hand and joyously singing and preaching and enjoying the presence of God? Look what I'd have missed out on if I hadn't went forward. Folks, the best really is yet to come. Some of you have been there and you've lived to tell the story. I hope that you will give me a witness to somebody else that needs to know you're going to make it. By the grace of God, you're going to win. And you're going to look back on those times and you're going to say, I'm glad I kept putting one foot in front of the other and I have went forward by God's grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Oh, God. Lord, it's so good on this side of the Red Sea. But it's so easy to miss that on Pharaoh's side of the Red Sea. Speak to someone here in this place, giving them the courage to take another step. Father, in the name of Jesus, put it in somebody's heart to take one more step and watch you do the miracle they need. Lord, I am fully confident they're going to make it by your grace. Put that confidence in in each one of us. In Jesus' name, we ask it. And everybody can say, amen. How about it, saints of God? Anybody ready?